That's enough. Got your Bibles? Hold them up. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs in chapter 15. I'm glad my wife is here this morning. Man, we got a real good report this week. She went back to the oncologist and he said, didn't want to see her for 6 months. That's a blessing. Don't want to see her for 6 months. But she's still on that maintenance thing. Open your Bible, please, the book of Proverbs in chapter 15. My voice is about gone from lashing out over to the gospel barn. We had a good time. If you ain't never heard the Midnight Cry, y'all to get their CD. It's an excellent group. They're real old-fashioned, and boy, I love that string music, like a big upright bass, a guitar, two guitars, a banjo, and a dobro. Man, I love that stuff. I love it. If y'all don't like that music, I'm sorry. It's going to be in heaven. Okay, the book of Proverbs in chapter 15, look in verse 13. Now, I want you to read with me this morning. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Look in verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. While the days of the afflicted are evil, now I want you to watch, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now, just flip over one page in your Bible, and I want you to look in your Bible in Proverbs in chapter 17, and look in verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, you're still turning. Verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a what? Say it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Then he says, but a heart, the spirit drieth the bones. Look over in chapter 17 and look in verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Now, did y'all get that? Is anybody here at all? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Now, I want you to watch this. All my life, I have built old cars. I mean, sometimes I think it's a curse. Jesse, let me ask you a question. Don't it make sense? Do you change the oil in your car or truck? All right, is it not easier and more less expensive to change the oil on a vehicle? Okay, how about putting the right pressure of air in the tires? If you don't, they'll dish out. They'll wear out and you'll have to replace them. So what I'm doing this morning, I want you to see this. We are three-part being. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. We're physical, we're mental, and we're spiritual. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. All right, but we're on this earth, this little planet called earth, 25,000 miles in circumference, 8,000 miles through, and 6.5 billion of us live on this planet. All right, now talk to me this morning. Does God know you're at Jordan Baptist Church, whatever the day is? I don't know half time what day it is. It's the 24th of June, am I right? Does God know every hair on your head, Hope? Not even a little sparrow can fall to the ground that our Father doesn't take notice of. All right, how many of you this morning, you can say, Brother Sisson, I know I'm saved, and I want you to raise your hand. If you know you're saved, I want you to raise your hand. All right, then you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Bible is food for our soul. Does everybody understand that? The same way gasoline is for a car is the same way the Bible is for our soul. Now, your soul has to be fed. Our problem is Brother Billy Miller is an excellent preacher. But what we do, we hear, but we don't apply what we hear. Okay, Stuart, look at me. Have you ever in your lifetime, as a saved person, have you ever been wounded? I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about wounded spiritually. Do y'all know what I mean by that? Our feelings can be hurt. Our feelings can be hurt. We can even get angry. Jesus got angry, but he got tired. If you read John 4, says he was weary with it, and he sat on a well. How about him when he going in and overturning the tables in the money changers? He was angry. All right, now what do you do with your emotions? We're emotional beings. We get angry. I'm in a flesh. And my flesh sometimes don't always do what it ought to do. Y'all don't never get angry. Straighten your halos up. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. All right. How many of y'all ever heard this? Are you ready? Hope, listen to me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. L-I-E. Is that how to spell it right? Sometimes we get wounded. Sometimes by the very tone of your voice. Yet the tone of your voice, Hope, or Jess, or maybe where you cut your eyes. Y'all know what I mean. Your eyes sometimes give you away. Well, you say, we carry these wounds around. I mean, people do. We carry them. We attend church, and we've been wounded, and we've been hurt, and our feelings are hung out on our knees. Ain't that pitiful? But sometimes we get bent out of shape. That's the best word. Let me show you what I mean. Open your Bible to the book of Mark. Go with me to the book of Mark, please, and I'm going to try my best to slow down. Look in your Bible in Mark, please, chapter 6, and I want to read this to you. Mark chapter 6, look in verse 3. Everybody finds your place? Mark 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Jose, and of Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? Jesus had sisters. And he had brothers. Now I want you to watch. Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Where's Junior at? And the Bible says, and they were offended at him. The Son of God, they were offended at him. His own family was offended at him. Don't you think the Son of God, don't you think that had to hurt him? Did anybody hear it all? I mean, don't you think that when they were offended at him, what was his countenance like? What would have Jesus' countenance been? Sorrowful. Okay, now watch this. Sometime or another in our lives, there's going to be things happen in our life. Brother Stewart, when I look at a man or a person, I try my best, and you can ask my wife, I try my best to say, that person has the potential of being the best friend I ever had in my life. I try to look at a problem and I say, this problem it has to be some kind of benefit for me. I don't know if y'all do that or not. I don't mean I succeed at it, but I try. Does everybody understand that? I mean, I try, all right, but a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you would really be honest this morning, sometimes it's hard to maintain a real joyful spirit. Okay, we're on the planet. Now, I want you to write this down. People are disturbed. People are so disgusted with other people. I get disgusted with them. Sometimes these rank liberals up there at Washington, I'd like to wring their necks. I could name you two or three of them. One of them is Pelosi. Well, I'm just saying that's how I feel. But now watch this. I have to get my feelings under control. I have to get my emotions under control. Amen, sister. But I'm talking about they're disturbed, they're defeated, they're downhearted. Somebody flip over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to read this to you. Well, I'm going to let you read it. In 2 Timothy, I want you to find your place and read this verse to me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look in verse 7, please. There, people are so depressed. Anybody ever go to Walmart? I had to take a preacher friend of mine up to Walmart to get him something he needed. He lives in North Carolina. I went up to Walmart, and this woman, she had a whole shopping cart full of stuff. Well, she was trying to check out at the where you buy tires at, back there in the back. And anyway, because this man, an older man, they was checking him out, and because she couldn't get up there with her cart, You never seen such an angry person. I mean, forked fire was coming to that woman's eyes. I stood there for a minute, and Brother Junior was trying to find what he wanted. And so I told Hank, the boy that was there, I said, Hank, is that other register open? I said, can this woman be checked out down there? So I got the shopping cart by the like this and pulled it down there to that register to where she could be checked out. I thought there was going to be a brawl right in the middle of Walmart. I mean, this woman was one upset woman over not being able to get to the cash register quick enough. Have y'all ever been to a drive-thru in a McDonald's? Now then, they've got two lanes, two windows. You pay at one, and you get your stuff at the other one. Am I right? Have you ever seen people cut people off in them lanes? Oh, son, you talk about, look here. I mean, if they think even remotely that you're getting ahead of them. What I'm saying is we all sometimes overreact. Now read this with me. Hey, Miss Hope, you read it to me. Look, if you would, in verse 7. Now read it real loud to me, Hope. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now listen to what she said. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. People are looking at our world system. How many of y'all remember Rocket Man, Korea, just a few months ago? Everybody was thinking he's got an intercontinental ballistic missile that's going to reach California. All of a sudden, just like this, all of a sudden, Donald Trump flip-flopped. And he changed and started meeting with Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is. Do y'all realize what this man has done to his people? This North Korean dictator. I mean, do you even have a clue what he done to those people? He's killed masses of people. All right, all of a sudden, we change. Why? Everybody thought, I wonder if he can really reach California with that missile. I wonder, can he reach Guam? We have a lot of soldiers in Guam, by the way. All right, people were so on the alert. They're thinking, it could be. All right, God has not given us the what? Say it to me. The spirit of fear, but of love, but of a sound mind. Your mind is not saved. Your mind has to be renewed. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, all right? Do you ever ask God to heal your emotions? I go to hospitals. You can go to beside the hospital bed, and 95% of the people over 55 years of my life, 50 years of preaching something, but don't you know, they want their bodies healed. But nobody ever says, heal my emotions. But yet we're emotional beings. Can I ask you a question? Halftime. Let me stop it. How did the American Indian, when the early settlers get here, how come the Indians here? How come the American Indian was here when the settlers got here? Y'all remember back in the book of Genesis when he's trying to build the Tower of Nimrod and God scattered him upon the face of the earth? But now watch this. Did not the Indians have a knowledge of a what? Happy hunting ground. They had a knowledge, or they had a knowledge that if they was a, I know they're sort of warped in their thinking, but what I want you to see is the simplisticness of their life. When my wife and I was in the jungles of New Guinea, bones in their nose and living, I mean, in the villages, they have a knowledge of God, but they don't really know God, but they have a knowledge of God, a mindset of God. All right, I'm getting to a point. Our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, as I told you Wednesday night, they lived a far simpler life than we live, and they were far more contented people than we are. How can people live in the jungles of New Guinea? How could the American Indian live the way they live? And how could they never known any better? They've never known any better lifestyles. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? They didn't know any better. How many of y'all remember when you was kids, you didn't have air conditioning? No running water. No electric. Okay. How come it was that mom, our grandmas, how come it is that they could live a far more serener life than we live? How could they eat ham two or three times a week, or maybe almost every time at breakfast? How could they eat salt-cured ham? And the doctor says, your cholesterol level, your HDL is out of sight. I said, well, that's what appeal's for. But they could eat all that stuff. They worked from sunup to sundown. They went to bed early. They didn't have television, CDs, MP3s, and they didn't have computers, and they didn't have all this stuff. The divorce rate wasn't near as high as it is now. And guess what? 300% over the years since 1970. Did you know suicide has went up that much since 1970? What in the name of heaven is wrong with us? Well, we're living and we're in this world. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be separate from the world. And now our minds have been programmed, but nobody ever says, heal my emotions. Well, let's go back. And I want you to watch. Proverbs chapter 15. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hope. Look at these eyes of mine. All right. What is your primary purpose upon this planet? Good girl. My preaching's taking hope. I love hope. All right, her primary purpose is to lead others to Christ. We are to glorify God. We are, if God just saved you to take you to heaven, why didn't he take you the moment he saved you? If God just intended for hope to go to heaven, why didn't he just put a stamp on her and take her to glory the moment he saved her? We're the only hands, we're the only feet, we're the only mouthpiece God has. Amen. Well, somebody said, I love it. I love it. I talk to college kids. I love talking. I talk to Walt. Walt talk back. But they're so frustrated with their lives, and adults are too. Divorce rates are epidemic level. People don't realize that sin is our problem. Sin is the problem. Even in the saved people's lives, how many of y'all remember the battery-operated radio? We didn't have electric, so we had... You don't remember, Jesse. We had a radio, but the battery was about this long, about this wide. And you usually the battery sit right behind the window, and you run a wire out to the outside. That's a ground wire. But you didn't, and you didn't have good reception because it wasn't like it is now. You didn't have you had AM, but you didn't have FM. You didn't have all these radio stations that you have now. All right, now listen to me. The programs wasn't like they are now. The programs wasn't like they are now. All right, then when we got television, are you listening? Now then, not only do you hear with a radio, but now then you see with your eyes when you're listening to a television. You watch it with your eye. You watch it and you hear, right? Could that be where the train has got derailed? Could that not be where the train has got derailed? We've seen every kind of sexual scene. I seen this week and I thought, if this is not a... You ask my wife, I preached it 50 years ago, and now the things I told 40 years ago are happening now. Listen to this. They're now saying that scientists are now saying that games are harmful to young people. Could that be the reason why we're so violent? How many of y'all remember Daffy Duck when he was a kid growing up? Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, Roadrunner. Man, I used to live on Saturday morning. I worked 12 hours a day. On Saturday morning, I'd get my kids and we'd sit down in the living room and we would watch the Roadrunner. Man, I wanted that coyote to catch him so bad. But listen, we would sit and watch the Roadrunner. All right, now watch it. Let's go from there. Now look what our, cartoons are not even anymore. Honestly, they use all kinds of language. Look at your movies. They're not no longer general audience. They're what we called R-rated back then are now triple X-rated. And yet it's in our living rooms. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. That's the reason why when you're trying to have a revival meeting, the second week of revival, you don't hear much of that anymore. The second week of revival is far better than the first because we get our minds sort of straightened out. Does everybody understand what I just said? You get your mind away from this world and the things of the world. And we're all, we create habits in our life. Amen. And habits are hard to break. People say, well, now, Brother Sisson, you just don't know, you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. I do. All right, now watch this. How can we heal our emotions? It's a whole lot easier to change the oil in the car than replace the motor. It's a whole lot easier to put air in the tires than it is to go buy a brand new set of emissions. I about had my heart about quit beating the other day. I had to go buy a new set of tires. And they told me how much these, I said, well, how much is emissions? $144. I said, what? When I bought my last set, there's only $80-some. Now they're $140-some. Same tire. I about had the big one. But listen to this. Everything is, it seems like we're living in a pressurized generation. There's pressure on all of us. And we come to the house of God, and here's what we do. We just sit here. We just sit here, and it goes through one ear right out the other. Amen. All right, now I want you to, if a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, Proverbs 15, sometimes it's hard to maintain that merry heart. Amen, Sisson. Arguing, fussing. Now I want you to watch this. Go back and look in your Bible. Brother Sisson, what do we do? All right, Mark says that they were offended at him. What do you do when offenses come? I realize and understand this, that let's take Jess, for instance. I was just cutting up with him a moment ago. Jess, I can remember when he was just a little bitty, I remember when his mother was carrying him, but he was just a little, oh, I loved him. I still love him. Of course, I have to do this now. But he used to when he was just a little boy, and I'd hold revivals for him. Now he's a grown man. But now listen to this. Listen. Jess and Hope are married. Now don't tell me that sometimes or another your personalities don't clash. Hope's agreeing, but I can't get Jesse to agree. Sometimes our personalities clash, right or wrong. All right, if you are healthy spiritually, can't you handle problems differently? If you're healthy spiritually. Amen. All right, does God know everything about Jess? He knows everything about Jesse. Does God want us to be happy? Yes, he does. But see, the train has got off the track. Man ought to work. He ought to provide for his family. But your primary function in this world is to glorify the Lord. It's not drudgery. It's happiness. Amen. Well, now, Brother Sisson, let me tell you what I've done. My granddaughter wants a baby so bad it's unbelievable. In fact, she wants a baby so bad that if some young girl gets with a child, it hurts her because why can't I get with a baby? Well, we're all sometime or another in our thought pattern, sometimes everything goes south. And if you're not very careful, here's what happened. Envy, jealousy. Man, did you see that dress that woman had on? Did you see the car that guy's driving? And if you're not very careful, envy will step in there. Or jealousy will step in there. Now, these are emotions, amen, or anger. You don't know what he said to me. You don't know what she said. You don't know what he did 19 years ago. And they bring, all right, if I know anything, and I don't know a whole lot, I know that my past has been forgiven. I do know that if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, do I have problems? We all have problems. You be honest. Raise both hands. Sometimes or another, we all have problems. Bitterness, envy, jealousy, covetousness. Honestly, for God, if God blesses Jesse to where he drives a $100,000 Ford, he can't be right with God if he drives a Ford, but oh, I'm just picking him. Why should I be jealous at him because God gives him? Why should I let bitterness come in my heart? Why should I let envy come in my heart? Why should I be jealous about anything? Are y'all listening to me? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hey, son, have you ever took castor oil? Oh, have life is going to deal you a good thing. How many of you have ever, when y'all was kids growing up, took castor oil? That stuff is horrible. Ugh! Guess what? Mom, you say this to my mom. She'd say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I'd say, Mom, if it's going to, then quit doing it. But I'm saying, they give you that castor oil. How many of y'all remember this? Do you remember used to, we're talking about a medicine now. Have y'all ever know what red liniment is up here? Do y'all know what Raleigh's red liniment is? Do you, Cliff? You can take a little eyedropper and put in water, son, and go to bed and it'll sweat you like a, you can't believe it'll heat your body up. Well, the old people realized and understand they didn't have doctors in every corner. They would give you Raleigh's red liniment. Woo! Or they give you a dose of castor oil. You didn't dare say you were sick at the house where I lived. Because you'd run like a maniac because you know they're going to get castor oil. But I'm saying mercurochrome or iodine. Do y'all know what that is? They put a little drop of that iodine on you. And boy, I'm telling you the truth, it sets you on fire. But we're talking about a wounded spirit. We're talking about people that are wounded emotionally. You have to apply the medicine before it'll help you. Did y'all hear what I said? You have to apply the medicine before it will help you. You have to get the wound clean. Well, we go into revival meetings, and the preacher's trying to encourage everybody to get rid of all the known sin in their life. All right, what he's trying to do is to apply the balm of Gilead to your soul. He knows and realizes that just one person that is bitter or envious or jealous, amen, it will hinder the Spirit of God working. All right, in our churches, when people are wounded, I'm talking about emotionally, amen, sister, it causes a division. Hey, honey, tell them, have you and I ever been mad?
No, not me, just you.
Y'all didn't hear what she said. Ain't that pitiful, Hope? Ain't that a real statement? No, I'm not just me. Sometimes
the fur flies.
It's going to be your fur flying. You know what I told her the other day? I'm going to take her in that little suitcase she pulls that's got wheels. I'm going to put her out over here on the interstate and let her walk home. Pull her little suitcase. But no, listen to me. All right, when you're angry or upset, and we all can get that way, amen, do this, it causes a division. All right, now watch this. Is bitterness worth carrying around? How about jealousy? How about envy? That brings what? A division. Husband and wife brings a division. Children that rebel against their parents brings a division. I taught trying to tell my grandson. I said, I'm 73 years old. Don't it make sense? I've lived three times longer than you live. I ought to have a little bit more experience. Yes. This is no disrespect to young people today. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But you can't tell them. Ooh, boy, it's getting quiet in here. They don't want to hear, don't do that. They don't want to hear. I'd give anything if I'd listened to my dad. I wish I'd listened to my grandpa. Amen. Don't this make sense to y'all? If this stove is red hot and I say, don't touch that stove, and you go in there and put your hand on it, and you burnt your hand, I told you not to, didn't I? Then why do we go touch a red hot stove? Then why are all of us, why do we carry these things around every day of our life? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But the medicine has to be applied. Amen, sister. I don't know what you do. I don't have a clue what you do. All right, if the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, but of a sound mind, I want a sound mind. All right, your mind, the eye gate, we let it in here, and then it goes through here, and then it's in there. Here's what, Greg back there is good on a computer. Hope, are you good on a computer? Does a computer have an edit button? Gregory, does it have an edit button? All right, look here. Stuart, don't you wish you could push an edit button, just edit all this stuff out of your life? Choo-hoo! Erase all of it. All right, then why don't we do that? Why don't we just say, it's not worth me being bitter at Jesse. It's not worth the anger. It's not worth it. Apply the balm of Gilead to our lives. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, but of a sound mind. Could I tell you something? How many of y'all are veterans? I know Greg is. One of the things of my life, and I've been to veterans hospitals all over, from Salisbury to Winston-Salem to Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, I'm just naming them, veteran hospital. If I go in a veteran's hospital, I'm not worth killing. I might as well, after the day, I might as well just go home and lay down somewhere. Arms missing, legs missing, ears missing, parts of their bodies missing. And you go in there, now listen to me, I'm talking about veterans. I'm talking about men that have lost limbs to protect you and I, the freedoms that we have. And I look at them and I think, dear God, does anybody care about them? They say, my wife don't hardly come to see me anymore. My children don't hardly come to see me anymore. Y'all have probably never seen somebody laying on a cot and have to push it with wheels, and they're just a torso laying there. And sometimes you go in there, and no disrespect to a veteran, I think they ought to have the best of the best. Say amen. I think they ought to have the best of the best. Not just pushing pills at them to take and numb their feelings. But that's what they do. I got a guy, and I'm not going to call his name. Some of you probably know him. He has a closet full of Oxycontin. Closet full. All kinds of drugs. Every time he goes to a veterans hospital, they just give him this and tell him to. They don't try to get to the source of the problem. It's like having a stroke, and they say, take two aspirins and go home. See me tomorrow. What I'm saying is that's what people do. That's what we do. We just keep putting patches on everything. And all the time, we just need God to touch us and heal us. Heal our emotions. Heal our emotions. We're emotional beings. I want to be as happy as I can be tomorrow, jubilant as I can be. We go up to the post office, sometimes we about have a revival in the middle of a post office. I love it. We go in there and, listen, I know I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy. You ain't never realized it yet, but you about half crazy too. Crazy people, they're uninhibited. They're uninhibited. If they don't have no money, they're still happy. If they have money, they're happy. But what I'm saying is, if we could learn to say, God, heal my emotions. Some of the happiest people, contentedest people, how many of y'all remember what I preached Wednesday night? Uh-oh. Nobody remembers what went on Wednesday night? I'm going to crank it up again if you don't. We're talking about being content. Contentment, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now we're talking about healing our emotions. We're going to have a service here in a moment. And we take so much for granted, don't we? We're even unthankful by nature. But watch this. We're going to go into a worship service, and worship is adoration of the Lord. If you're not very careful, why did we come this morning? I mean, why do we come to the house of God? You were supposed to come to meet with the Lord. I mean, to worship and adore the Son of God. We don't do it a lot, but I mean, that's what we were made for. Express ourselves to Him. Lord, I love you. What? Say it with me right quick. Just say, I love you. That's pitiful. Say it again. Did that kill you? Did that hurt you? I mean, what's that guy's name there that you like to watch? That's him. She, me and her like them old black and white shows. But I'm just, he grabbed me and said, oh, that hurt me. Just to say I love you or I'm sorry or forgive me. But I'm saying this morning, let's just ask God to heal our emotions. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. God, help us to apply the balm of Gilead to our soul. Thank you, Lord, this morning for Jordan, and thank you, Lord, for the people. Now I pray, speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We take a few minutes, and people are coming in. You didn't think I could do that, did you, Brother Greg?